When that rise started in October and was really meteoric.
Bitcoin, have you heard? It's making a comeback. The price of the digital currency has...
But tonight... Don't call it a comeback. Bitcoin's been here for years. Peer to peer, pitting suckers to fear. Making fierce tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bench go boom, explosion. Overpowering, over the competition. It's towering, mining nonstop. When I drop these blocks that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare stare, you better move. Don't ever be a bear. Biggie is the best, all others get sliced and diced. Banks are paying the price. Bitcoin's gonna knock you out. Satoshi's here, knock you out. Bitcoin's gonna knock you out. Satoshi's here, knock you out.
Raphael, what's up?
Raphael.
What's been on your mind since the show we did?
Yo, guys, like, I just got done having a giant meeting with a bunch of my boys in real life. Bro, every day, we're like, we came up with two fucking badass alphas, bro. We're going to do the Git book and shit tomorrow. And that's it, bro. It's just fucking awesome, dude. Like, the goal is every 24 hours, you got to produce one. Every 24 hours, you got to produce one. Okay. And then we got into talking about like kind of a topic, and I don't want to take you guys off topic of conversation here, but we're like, have you guys heard of Pocket, POKET from Ethereum? So they were able to provide decentralized tooling for Ethereum applications. I was talking to one of the devs that's working on creating a game for ordinals, and he's like really pissed off. He's like, fuck, man, like I can only find all of this tooling on Bitcoin. Like, it all refers back to like some centralized company, and we got to change that, guys. We got to change that. He was even going back to this like crazy like awesome developer that came in and left by the name of Unwriter, and he was looking into what Unwriter has done, and he was looking at how even Unwriter was referencing BitPay. It's like, man, we cannot do that. We can't like be dependent on our tooling to come from centralized companies. So I'm like, we have to figure out a way that we can like create like a horde. We got to come in at this like a horde and tackle this like now, guys. We have to have our own tooling like that is on-chain, open source, and interoperable. So that is like, it's not a 24-hour alpha that you're going to like inscribe within 24 hours, but it's definitely something that we need to focus on. So what would be like some ideas to kick this off, to get this started? How can we get enthusiasm from the on-chain economies for us to have our own decentralized tooling?
Well, Jack, I feel like, and Rafa, I mean, we were talking the DMs, it's like, proactive versus reactive. Like, is this something that someone without the skill set, like myself and Jack, like, are we going to be able to be proactive on this, or are we going to have to be reactive?
I think it's both, and I think we have to be proactive. Pocket, POKET, already did this in Ethereum. And remember what happened in Ethereum, right? That someone didn't like something somewhere and they shut down MetaMask wallets, right? Okay, so you can't have the tooling for the Bitcoin on-chain economy to be dependent on centralized companies. So we have to figure this out. Like, I know Jack and a lot of people here are already like are more involved in the entrepreneurial aspect, dealing with like order books and, you know, partially signed Bitcoin transactions and all these things. So you guys have a better idea of how the tooling works.
Hey, Raphael, so obviously I see that you're like a really big believer in BitMax. Based on your head picture, you have the...
Bro, let me give you a little background of who I am. I was in the San Jose conference in 2012, the Bit Angels Network was created, and it was the first angel network of investors. And I was part of that train. I was in charge of investor relations, meaning that I would go throughout the world and I would teach people about Bitcoin. And I would, and then I would sit down with startups that were trying to source capital for Bitcoin, and it turned into crypto. And I would sit down and we would prepare them to like pitch to angel investors, right? This crazy fucking alien technology called blockchain Bitcoin. So from the beginning, dude, I already knew what Bitcoin was capable of. And I started getting really discouraged and really pissed off when I started seeing people focus on externalities to the Bitcoin blockchain itself, because I knew everything could be done within the Bitcoin blockchain itself. To leave the Bitcoin blockchain.
I'm sorry to cut you off. At that time, when you were thinking about the potential of Bitcoin, I would love to hear your mindset on what you were thinking the potential of Bitcoin was at that particular time. What did you foresee?
The same one right here, dude. The same one that we're having right now with Bitmap with Ordinals. The same exact one, bro. Like Bitcoin, look at the number one pinned tweet right now that I have on my Twitter. You'll see that is Neo coming out of the Matrix, and I say that the Bitcoin on-chain economy is waking up. We were in a coma for a decade.
So you're telling me that
your brains are being activated right now, but it's because Bitcoin is an organism that is waking up from its slumber.
So you're telling me that you had already foreseen all of this shit 10 years ago.
Yeah, and guys like Jack Lew as well. Yeah, bro. Like me and Jack have had conversations like this in the past. Yeah, bro. This is literally the we don't want to get into it because it's water over the bridge, but this was like the origin of the Bitcoin stuff war, bro.
This is
okay. Like straight up.
So to me, this is like orgasmic, bro. You have to like, okay.
Fuck yeah, it is, man. Like, you believe like the shit that like a decade of waiting for this shit to happen? So, it's happening, bro.
Okay, so if you foresaw this 10 years ago, what do you see this being 10 years from now?
That's like, we are entering into what Jack calls the imagination economy. So it's our creativity is our horizon now. So it's wherever we want to go, dude. And that's why I say artists are the most important people right now. Artists will show us where we're going.
And what do you see everything going with the implementation of quantum computing?
Pardon me, can you please repeat that? Implementation of what?
Quantum computing.
I don't know, bro. I don't know. It's like, I try not to suffer from the pretense of knowledge, right? I think this is spontaneous order. You just have to let the market be. We're an organic swarm that's moving right now, and you have to honor the swarm, right? The swarm is all of you guys listening to this. We are the swarm. So you have to just go, and you have to figure out. I'm figuring it out right now. I'm putting together kind of like mapping out how to create an alpha in your mind and how to like break it down into like different aspects that we should be looking into. Like when you create an alpha, like what are the prerequisites for an alpha? And so I'm really trying to figure that out. So the goal is for you guys to just really like engage with your imagination, really engage with your creativity, and really have these conversations. So once I have a little more like cleared, I will be able to speak to it. But right now, that's kind of like what I'm working on. But can you repeat your question again? What's the future? I don't know, dude. The future is unbounded, bro. It's...
Yeah, so if you were able to foresee the
future, you're gonna be in all every other 5 minutes in the future, okay? You're gonna be like, wow, 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 dude, because everything is just gonna compound upon itself. Like the word mystery does not mean like this is something that I can never know. The word mystery means that this is something so great that there will always be something more to know. There will always be new insight to be gained. So you will always be able to gain more insights, right? A lot of people argue whether all ideas have been thought about already. And to a certain degree, a lot of people say that, you know, there's like a question in philosophy, have all ideas already been thought about? And the truth is that there's an argument for yes, we have already come to that, but that does not mean that you can't come to new synthesis of ideas and new insights. So we have to understand this is that, like, we're leaving the slave debt layer and we're moving into the equity layer, which is on chain, where everybody in the world can now participate frictionless with this economy by creating things, right? So you don't have to ever bump up to any friction from fiat. You just go straight into the on-chain economy with your creation and start earning Bitcoin. So right now, even in the speculative market, which is really what runs the crypto economy, people have to set money aside from the debt slave finances. And then from those finances, depending on how convinced they are regarding crypto, they will set aside and allocate certain funds. The thing is that now that friction doesn't exist anymore. Everyone can now just create an alpha, create on chain. So now it's open to everyone.
I get it. It's an open.
And if we really want to be badasses, you know what we are going to start doing? We're going to be doing community crowdfunding, so that even people that can't afford the $1 for inscription, they're going to be able to just open up a Bitcoin wallet and inscribe their ideas onto the blockchain. And that's an idea, that's an insight that actually has already become a reality. And the pioneer of that was Jack Lew himself. But I'll let Jack Lew talk about that whenever he wants to talk about that. But that idea of community driven, us subsidizing the inscribing of our creativity on the blockchain, has already been thought about, and it's something that sounds futuristic, but to be honest, we're not that far away, because actually we could do that right now. And we could literally pull money and create a fund for that. Yeah.
Let me ask you something. So even in the metaverse, or, you know, wherever we're at now, do you feel like there has to be a centralized form of governance in order to keep order? Or do you feel like it could just...
No, not at all.
Sorry, I was hitting the request button. I think I muted everybody. Rafa, my bad.
Yeah, you don't need any sort of centralized government whatsoever, because this is a capitalist meritocracy of value, where, like, Jack Lew, like, praises it very well. He's like, we're athletes in Bitcoin. So there's nobody here that can come in and like gain complete power over the network by staking, right?
So what do you see?
Proof of work,
so only as good as you were the last 10 minutes. What do you see?
In the next 10 minutes, somebody else can come in and outcompete you. What's up? What's your question?
What do you see the advantage in a free-for-all market of everybody just competing for power?
That we are in profit seeking, and I'm quoting the emperor of Bitcoin, Daniel Krawitz, profit seeking is Bitcoin's motor, and we're moving in an upward spiral of value creation.
Because
that which is truly valuable is what will be rewarded within the system.
What?
Like, you're only going to profit when you're serving others in Bitcoin. That's the only way you really profit in Bitcoin, by serving others.
My thing is,
capitalism starts with empathy. You have to be empathetic. You can't profit in Bitcoin without knowing what the market wants. So if you want to make money in Bitcoin, you have to come as a servant and ask other people. Figure out, what is it that people need right now? What are the pain points that people in this emerging on-chain economy, what are their pain points right now? What is it that they need? and you have to serve them right there. That's where you have to serve them.
How is that different from a capitalist society that we currently live in?
Well, that's exactly what it is. Bitcoin is capitalist. You're providing 100%.
You're providing a need. You're providing a service for a need. So that's no different
than yes, correct. Yeah. That's what an entrepreneur does. Yeah. Pardon?
Well, that's currently the society that we live in.
Correct. But you can so when you think of a blockchain, you're thinking about a type of relationship, and a relationship where trust is inherent, and you can actually engage freely within that relationship. Different blockchains are different types of relationships. The Bitcoin blockchain in its design is the relationship where he who is providing the most value to the economy becomes most profitable. And this is something that they cannot monopolize. Just like miners, they're only as good as they were in the last 10 minutes. So yes, within any economy, an entrepreneur finds the excesses and deficits in the economy and does the arbitrage in between. So the most important person in the economy is you, the individual entrepreneur. You see the immediate excesses and deficits in the economy in your personal life, and you fulfill that need. And that's how you profit. So Bitcoin augments that. What it does is that it takes your human nature and it augments it. So now I'm not just serving in a way where the focal point of the relationship itself is completely one of trust. The blockchain unites me to everyone on the planet, on the world, and I'm able to serve you as easy as I'm able to serve my next door neighbor, no matter where you are in the world. And I can fulfill your need in real time. And with the on-chain economy, we're only going to
and directly too
be growing and directly closer to each other. That's all it is, really, is that we're going to be growing closer to each other.
Yeah.
Like that's the wild thing is that we're going to be growing closer to each other, and it's just going to become a more and more abundant environment.
Yeah, and like you said directly too, like there's no need for like a lawyer, there's no need for like any of that shit. It's more of like an interpersonal type of relationship between each other.
For sure. That's all blockchain is. It's a relationship with all. Where the greatest investment is not the technology itself, but it's the investment we have in one another. Like you're valuable.
Yeah.
And everybody else here is valuable. I'm really investing in you guys, and you guys are investing in me.
Do you think people are ready?
Because the technology by itself is sterile. It needs people. It's innate. It's part of human nature. We have that responsibility within us without Bitcoin. Without Bitcoin, you're constantly innately looking to move from a state of uneasiness to satiate that uneasiness. So you move and you look through your life every moment and you make choices based on those things that are limited. And that's literally where the notion of an economy, you have to like literally figure out, I'm going to do this now and then I'm going to do that, because there's a scarcity called time. And so you prioritize things in your personal life. You do that already. You arbitrage your own time already. So when we so now what we're doing is that we're arbitraging each other's time together on the blockchain, on the time chain. That's all we're doing. So everything that you already are as a human being is only being augmented. Like if you really want to go down this rabbit hole, then we're going to go into 2188, baby. Because Bitcoin is, to be honest, dude, it's a giant AI. And we're all part of it. And it's the freedom AI. Really, it is.
In what sense
it's one that we, it's like
we considered it an AI though, because now you're jumping. Now you're jumping.
That's another story, but we can get into it some other time. That goes into a whole other rabbit hole, dude. Where were you talking about proof of work? I'll give you the answer. I'll give you the answer in a nutshell. It's taking proof of work to its ultimate limit.
I get that.
Like proof of work is not just to like wrap energy around financial transactions. Actually, proof of work, we're taking it to its ultimate limit within Bitcoin. SHA-256 can be taken to the point of wrapping energy around anything. And that's another story. That's a rabbit hole.
And how do you think that in any way like implements itself into artificial intelligence?
Well, I think that there's a lot of fear being promoted about new technology in general, and people that want power don't want you to use new technology. So you have to let go of the fear and realize that they're just people, those in power that want to monopolize new technology are just as capable as you. And so the fear mongering is like that of a fear mongering over owning guns or whatever, you know, they're just tools, you know? So, yeah, man, don't get psyoped into fearing technology. It's just a tool. I'm looking at an axe right now, right? Like, it's a tool. I can chop wood with it, you know? I can chop lumber with it.
But it depends on how you look at it. So,
every tool can be used for good or evil. So, I mean, whatever you think, you know? So don't get... So this is the main thing, dude, because you keep asking all these questions, and it feels like the notion of fear keeps echoing implicitly in everything you're asking. And since we live in an attention economy, I need everybody to focus on what I'm about to say, because the attention economy that you guys should be putting your energy in, because where the focus goes, your energy will go, is on your imagination and creativity. Okay, that's where your focus should be. On the on-chain layer, that's where every time you inscribe something, every time you do something on-chain, you're raising the vibration of literally everything around you, because you're not giving into this like succubus mindset of fear, and you can't allow that to poison your mind. Because if you look at the attention economy right now, it's trying to manipulate you. It's all moving in the direction of making you fall into learned helplessness. And that's exactly one of the things that people were psyoped away from within Bitcoin is that they were psyoped into like, oh, well, I'm just going to speculate, and this is just an investment vehicle. That's it. And there's a brain drain away from the main chain, the Satoshi's design, to like all these other versions of blockchain technology that claim to be better than what Satoshi gave us. And so it was really like a divide and conquer thing that happened. But in reality, you can't keep Bitcoin from like growing. You cannot keep Bitcoin from fulfilling its destiny. So no matter how much they try to stop Bitcoin and the on-chain economy from growing, it's going to find a way like water, man. You can't stop this.
Now, Rafa, do you think that...
So the best they can do is like stifle its growth, slow it down, like we saw this past decade. But now we see the, you know, like water, it's flourishing. No matter what, it's going to happen. So you can either focus on creating the future you want to see within an environment where only that which is truly valuable is rewarded, or you can stay stagnant, you know, in the attention economy that, you know, aims to program your subconscious mind into fear constantly. If is that what you want, then you can stay there and you can be an NPC, or you can start thinking for yourself and realize that you are given like Bitcoin is like Prometheus giving man fire, and either you're going to run with it in the open market or you're not. So you have to make the decision, you know, for yourself, because this is an individualist activity, really, that honors yourself and you honor others as individuals, because here we're owning that which is most precious to us, our data. So either you're going to like, either you're going to go with this positive energy of Bitcoin, or you're just going to fade it. And it's going to be like the biggest fade in your life.
Now, Rafa,
so it's up to you.
Do you see Bitcoin as an implementation of the current economical system that we live in, or do you see it as a stepping stone into the next step in evolution of the economy? Like, what do you look at it as?
I don't understand the second part of your question.
Yeah, do you think we're evolving into a completely new a variation of the economy or the monetary system, or do you think it's just kind of like an upgrade So what we're currently doing now.
So you have to realize that when you ask questions about Bitcoin or AI, you have to realize that if you're someone that is grounded in reality, if you're a moderate realist, which I hope you are, and you're not like someone that is a relativist and thinking that things are just out there floating and your feet are firmly standing in midair. If you're that type of person, this message is not for you, right? Like, because you're not gonna get this. You're not someone grounded in reality as it is, in what philosophers called, you know, in the Greek, apodictic truths, you know, things that can't be otherwise, like the law of self-reference, the law of non-contradiction, right? So if you're grounded in reality, you will know that there's like a mathematical formula that for the universe we're in, that starts off where our human action is limited by scarcity. And so know that scarcity will continue to exist even if we have artificial intelligence, you know, or Bitcoin, you know, or not have them. No matter what, the reality remains reality. So you have to look deeper. You should study praxeology, the science of human action, because that's really at the core. And if you don't understand if you guys really want to like put on the glasses to see the matrix into Bitcoin and what Satoshi gave us, you have to study Austrian economics. You have to. Like, if you study Austrian economics, I'd go to Mises.org and all of their literature is there for free. If you want to really have an edge in this world, like, you were asking me, like, Raph, why is it that you were able to see it back in 2012? Bro, I saw it there. Me and my boys, you know why we saw it? We saw it because we discovered Bitcoin together because we were part of an Austrian economics reading group called the Mises Circle. That's why, because we discovered Bitcoin as we were studying Austrian economics, like with reckless abandonment. So when you, so you have to, it's like a prerequisite, man, like for Bitcoin University, you have to understand Austrian economics, at least have an awareness of it. If you want to get a quick rundown of Austrian economics, you have to watch the videos from Prax Girl. So everybody should go to YouTube right now and YouTube Prax Girl, P-R-A-X Girl. And watch all of her lessons. She's got like 30 lessons or so. Like literally, just sit down and watch him, because that's gonna help you out so much, man.
Rafa, I'm assuming that the fact that you're even here means that you really believe in the future of the metaverse. That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah,
for sure. You really believe in?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So on top of that, like, what do you think our future economic system is going to look like? Now, do you think we're going to be counting money in Satoshis in the next 10 years? Or do you think that maybe we're still going to be living in the old economic system? Like, what is your perception on everything in the next 10 years? Because from what you've told me, it sounds really interesting. I think
you should watch my conversation with Jack Liu on YouTube, because, you know, pretty much that's what we talked about. And it went for like 2 hours and 30 minutes. This is the conversation we were having on this question. So what would happen in the next 6 months was the question, right? What will happen in the next 6 months was the question that kept coming up, right? And what happened in the last 6 months since Jack Liu was the first dude that I know that saw what everybody here is seeing right now. Like, he saw that. At least there's probably others, but he was outspoken about it. Like, he called it. He's like, hyperbitcoinization is here. And I'm like, really, bro? And I'm like, yep, it's here. And I'm like, explain it to me. So watch that video on the Crypto Vigilante channel.
Is there any way?
It's the one with Jack 6 months ago, 24 hours. Pardon?
Is there any way you can pin that to the top? Because I would be really interested in watching that.
Oh yeah, I can do that. Yeah, sure.
Pin that.
All right, guys, I gotta go drink some water. I'm done talking. I'm gonna leave the stage. Peace.